And welcome, everybody. This is Ray Hanania on Ray Hanania on Politics, my political podcast that I do, where I look at a lot of interesting issues about mainstream America, American politics, and also about the Middle East. And I have something kind of in the middle, a little bit related, I've run into and I've got to meet this great guy. His name is Mohammed Fahim. He's a nationally known motivational speaker and workforce development professional, a great track record of starting and running many successful for-profit and non-profit businesses. But he also, every Sunday morning, and I believe it's at 9 a.m., he's on WCPT AM radio from 9 to 10 a.m. on hosting a program called The Lightning Strike. And you have a co-host there too, also, Mohammed. Tell us a little bit. First of all, welcome to the podcast, Ray Hanania on Politics, and thanks for joining.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Ray. It's always good to talk with you. And thank you for participating in the Lightning Strike on and off, you know, calling in. That's a great contribution that you're making. The Lightning Strike has two co-hosts, actually.
Yes. That's what I was going to ask. I have your bio, but who's your co-host? Tell us about him also.
Okay.
We give him credit. He's a good guy.
John Arena, who is the former 45th Ward alderman,
right,
joined the show as a co-host. And Ken DeLuke, a good friend of mine, is also part of the team.
And is he a producer or is he also on-air talent?
Ken is a producer as well as an on-air talent.
And now WCPT is called Progressive Radio. What are the call letters for WCPT if someone wanted to listen on Sunday morning at 9 a.m.? Where do they go on the radio, AM radio band?
WCPT 820 a.m. is the local Chicagoland area that you can listen to. But you can also listen to it online around the world at heartlandsignal.com. That is the national website. And also WCPT820AM.com. That is the same website that goes over there too. Plus, we are on Facebook Live for the show. So, yeah, plenty of ways that people can actually tune into.
Now, what I like about your show, and obviously I have a preference, you know, being Arab American, I started in journalism in 1975. And at that time, everybody thought I was Muslim, even though I'm a Christian Palestinian from Jerusalem and Bethlehem. But I don't mind being mistaken as a Muslim because even though I'm Christian Arab, I always consider myself Muslim by culture. So I have a close identity with the Muslim community, Arab Muslim, non-Arab Muslim, and Christian Arab community. When I started, there were very few people talking about the issues that are of interest to Muslims, Arabs, and people from the Middle East or the regional area in Asia. And over the years, there have been a few people that have come up, but none that have really achieved as much as you have on WCPT, because that is a big station. Progressive Radio has a big following. So your voice on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, you reach a very important audience. When did the program start and why did you decide to do it?
Well, we started September 6th. And that was the first show. My belief is that Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson was doing the Sunday morning spot that I am at now for the last 3 years. And once he got elected as the mayor, so there was a built-in audience there ready for me to step into. Big shoes to step into.
Yes.
But that was a good opportunity. So we decided to just go ahead and see if we can make a difference, bring a different, color to the show also.
Now, do you just do Middle East or you just talk about politics or tell us about what are the topics? Now, you are Muslim. And what is your background? Pakistani?
Originally
or Indian?
Born in India. But I have been in this country longer than I was ever in India. So I've been here about 40 years now.
Okay.
So time flies.
We're American. You and I are American, right?
We are as American as apple pie.
Yes, so what got you interested in why do a radio show? What was the motive? What were you trying to fill? What vacuum were you trying to fill by becoming a radio host last September?
Well, it started way beyond September. My master's is actually communications and journalism. And I have done radio in the past in Houston for a number of years. I anchored the International News Hour in the morning there.
Oh, wow.
And also did call-in talk radio for 8 hours, four on Saturday, four on Sunday.
Wow.
So took early retirement, came back to Chicago to be with family, and did nothing, bummed around for a couple of years. Then I kind of got pushed into starting a local television show, believe it or not, called The Employment Hour. That was to connect people with employment opportunities and employers right. with job seekers. Again, it is something that I wanted to give back to the country that has given me so much. And that lasted for a few months. And then the Illinois Department of Employment Security, the WorkNet side of it, pulled me into coming and working with them.
Wow. And
I thought I would do it for a couple of years. But then I spent 10 years working in workforce and economic development, helping a lot of people find jobs, helping employers connect with, grant opportunities for training and all of that. So that was the basic background. And especially in the radio market, you don't see too many of us, you know, people from our region of the world.
Right. Very few.
Not anymore. Very few.
Yeah, very few. And I always argue we're pushed out of the media. I was a city hall reporter for almost mm-hmm. 20 years for the Daily Southtown. Mm-hmm. And I was told when I was hired, because I'm Arab, they don't say this to everybody, but the day I was hired, a great editor who I really came to respect, H. Marlon Landwehr, he sat me down and he said, listen, he knew I would write letters to the editor about Arab and Middle East issues. He said, keep your opinions to your side of the typewriter. And my only concern at the time was I didn't know how to type. I was more worried about that at the time. But they don't say that to other, mainstream. They don't say that to Black reporters. They don't say that to Hispanic reporters. And they didn't say that to the Jewish reporters who were working with me at the Southtown. Then I got hired at the Sun-Times in 1985 to continue covering City Hall. And I was brought in and I was asked, do you have a problem with Jewish people? And I said, well, do you ask people that question? And he said, no, I'm not trying to be mean, but, you know, Arabs and Jews don't get along. I said, you know, my wife, actually at the time, my wife wasn't Jewish, but I said, no, I don't. I said, you know, I'm Christian, Palestinian. I have strong views. If you want to ask me, I'm more than happy to tell you, but I have no problem working with anybody because that's what journalism is supposed to be, right? And yet,
absolutely,
there's that little wall. Did you face that wall?
Not at all.
When you were doing media, did anybody say, well, because you're Indian, they don't, there are people in this country that don't hate Indians as much as they hate Arabs.
Well, especially, with me, I think in English, I sleep in English. I don't translate from Indian languages to English right. when I'm speaking. Most of my friends have been, regular Americans, not just the Indian Pakistani crowd.
Of course. And we're American. So all of our friends are American. Do you know anybody that's non-American in the neighborhood? The different ethnic groups, right? They expect us to be different. They don't expect themselves to be different. They expect us
to be
different.
I think a lot of it, Ray, has to do with our attitude also.
Yeah.
When I was doing radio, for example, if I had anybody on the air, I would just look at them and, you know, they put on their pants one leg at a time, as I do. And as an American, I have the right to hold them accountable. And that's been my attitude. I guess it's been, here's the thing that happened though. When I first came into the country, there was a big push to get me to change my name. And
there you go.
Can we call you Mo? I'm like, no, if you call me Mo, then I'm going to look around. And if I don't see Larry and Curly, there's going to be a problem. Okay. There was a time when someone wanted to call me Mike. I said, nope, my name is Muhammad. It's difficult to pronounce your name. I'm like, oh, yeah, you can pronounce
How
Muhammad Ali,
difficult.
can't you?
Yeah,
Okay.
right. Yeah, they could say that. I
So,
remember, I was going to say that I remember when I was younger, I had a friend named Adlai Issa, and Adlai, and then also another friend named Adlai Shelby. And in the book that I wrote called I'm Glad I Look Like a Terrorist Growing Up Arab in America, I did a little chapter on Adlai Shelby because all through school, nobody could pronounce his name. And I said, how is it possible that nobody could pronounce your name when Adlai was the name of a guy who ran for president? How many times? Adlai Stevenson. This idea that somehow, no matter what our names are, they see us differently and think, oh, it can't be Adlai. There's got to be a strange name. Mohammed can't be an American name. He has to be Mo or Mike. So it's really the American perception about us that we're constantly fighting, right?
Well, and you know, the longer that I've lived in this country, the more I interacted with people, somehow they look at me. I don't know what they might be thinking internally, but nobody has openly expressed to me. I do remember in Houston, I was running multiple businesses, okay? And one of my business was a construction company. So we used to call people up and set up appointments with for our salespeople, go and try to sell them window siding and all that kind of stuff, right? So I went down to South Houston on an appointment set up by the office. Guy looks at me and says, "I don't do business with people your color." And I said, "Well,
What color is that?
okay, I don't
You
know."
look more
So I
white than
said,
some white people.
I said, thank you, sir, thank you very much. And as long as I'm in the neighborhood, I'm going to knock on a few doors." And I actually came back with more business from that neighborhood
There you go.
than I had gone for that appointment. So, yeah, we have challenges. Let's not brush that under the rug. Okay, our children have challenges, but the more we integrate into the society and the more we give back, Ray. That's why I launched about 6 years back. I launched a nonprofit called Aman, AMAN. So if you go to amaninc.org, that is the website. Aman stands for American Muslims Assisting Neighbors. And our ask is very simple. We find a need in the immediate neighborhood and go and take care of it. Last month, you remember the Wadi who was killed. I live in Plainfield.
Right.
And after Wadi's murder, my organization, Aman, partnered with the village mayor and everybody, and we did the vigil in Plainfield. We had about 3,000 people show up.
Right.
That was crazy, day after the burial of Wadi. And then we decided to carry on that effort in Plainfield. We have started a new group called the Plainfield Community Alliance. And we have done two meetings so far, one in a church and one at the local high school. And there's a group of about 10 people from different communities now. Okay, blue, green, white, black, we don't care. As long as you are a human being, we want you to come together, build bridges. And the thing that we have come up with is a cool line. Okay, it's the tagline is each one, teach one. So the more we know about each other, the more we know about our neighbors, this right-wing media or the other media will not be able to divide us. So it's
Well, I
a
mean,
small effort that we started.
as an Arab, I'll be honest with you. I look at both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party as each disliking me in a different way. The Republican Party just looks at me and says, "You're an Arab, you're Muslim," and I'm not. Doesn't matter. They don't even
Okay.
recognize me as a Christian because they
Yeah.
don't think there could possibly be Christians who are Arabs. And then the Democratic Party looks at me as a threat. Because I don't support all the issues that they support regarding Israel. My family's from Palestine, and they live in Israel, and they're not treated fairly. But in the United States, that is not an easy topic to discuss. And when I was on your show a couple weeks ago, we were talking about a really tough issue, that ceasefire resolution in Orland Park, and how the mayor there, I felt, was more disrespectful. It wasn't about the ceasefire resolution. It was about how he treated the people who were not like him. It didn't matter what issue they brought up, but for him to say, Now, I'm not German American, I'm an American. And just because they happen to be Arab, he treated them badly. Now, to me, that's a topic that is not really understood or popular with mainstream Americans. And I wonder if you feel a backlash sometimes when you address those issues.
Well, I have had some people who have sent me nasty messages, but that comes with the territory. One thing that we're going to be talking about this coming Sunday, it's not just the mayor. One of the trustees, Michael Healy, who was the mayor's treasurer when he ran for Congress.
Right.
This Michael Healy, you should listen to what he had to say.
I never got a chance to write about him because what he's... I know his family. I know his son. I helped his son get into journalism. Billy Healy is a great kid. And I expected better from Michael Healy, the trustee. What he said at that meeting was offensive to me, but I focused mainly on the mayor, Keith Peacow. Are you going to have him on, or will he come on your station?
We reached out to Mayor Peacow. I called his office, left a message, haven't heard back. Ken DeLuke called his office and hasn't heard back. We don't
because you're one
him.
Of them. You're one of them. Okay, Mohammed.
Yeah, that's fine.
Your name is Mohammed.
Yeah, that's fine. And
they don't want to address. They know the questions you're going to ask. It may put them on the spot. You know. But I think it was very admirable that you reached out to him.
Yeah, we did, and I'm going to send an email out. Just so we have a paper trail that we did try to reach out to the mayor. And if he wants to come on, it's a free country, mayor. I was timing him. He spoke for 15 minutes.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay. Now, the constituents are given 3 minutes. And Mr. Mayor, you go on a rant. And if you notice something, and we're going to talk about it this Sunday, I want you to call in if you could.
Yeah.
He came prepared.
Yes.
For fight. Okay. He had notes written down. He went through a lot of history.
Yes.
And
from the Bronze Age.
Yeah. if you listen to Putin's interview with
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Putin started off with the Russian history. Okay.
Yes. It's interesting. And I'm going to say why this is so important, why it's so important for you to have the radio, because for non-Arabs to look at that meeting, a lot of them didn't see it as an issue of respect. They saw it as a battle over the ceasefire. But to me, it was beyond the issue. It was the substance of how does a mayor who is a public servant treat people who have an issue that they bring to him? He never even heard what they had to say. Only knew that they were Arab and had a 10-page diatribe pre-written. And then he had 10 police that were called in to surround the people. In other words, he was anticipating that they're Arab and Muslim. They must be bad people before he even heard them. Now, you listened to the video and I listened to it of that meeting, and all of the speakers are very respectful. There were a few people that were unhappy with what he said, but I have never seen a government official shut down a meeting because somebody said, hey, you're not being fair. They shut the meeting. They kicked everybody out. And then when nobody was in the audience, a half hour later, he continued this diatribe where he said some of the worst things like, go to another country. What is
not
that,
only that
about?
Not only that, he also dissed other people by saying Orland Park is not San Francisco and I'm not going to allow it to become San Francisco.
Right.
Mayor, where are you going with that? Why are you bringing in other people who are marginalized and dumping on them when they have nothing? Yep. They didn't do anything to you, right? So this guy is xenophobic and he needs to be called out.
Now, the important thing about this is if you were not Muslim, if I were not Arab, nobody would be talking about this. The media would have just brushed it aside in a paragraph and said some protesters brought a resolution and the mayor's people said no. But because you and I understand the issues and we want to let Americans get past the stereotypes that they've been taught over the years, the fact that you're Muslim and you're in the media, you can help open their minds and present a balanced view of what the real issues are. And that's why we need more Arabs and Muslim Americans like us, both American. We just, you're not trying to make people pro-Muslim, are you? You're trying to make people look at the facts and be fair.
Well, I want to contrast what the mayor of Orland Park said with what the mayor of Bolingbrook said on the 13th.
Yes, she did.
Mary looked at the crowd and it says, well, for this crowd, I'm very comfortable saying Assalamu Alaikum.
Yes.
What a contrast, what a difference. So we're going to play a clip of Mary saying that, and we're going to say a clip of the mayor of Orland Park saying, I'm an American, I'm not a German American.
The complete contrast. Mary Basta, the mayor of Bolingbrook, happens to be Egyptian American, but she's an American in every sense of the word. She became mayor with the support of the entire, it's the 16th largest city in Illinois. It's huge, 74,000 residents. So to me, it was so impressive that they addressed the issue the right way. If Pekow had been a fair mayor, he would have listened. He would have said, listen, I may not agree with you, but I appreciate you coming here. You got 800 signatures. This is what government's about, to represent everybody. I'm a public servant. I may not agree. We may not support it, but thank you for bringing it to us. He didn't do that. He was waiting and expected a fight.
Oh, absolutely. He came loaded for bear. I mean, he came loaded bear. Okay.
Yes.
And we are not going to take it. He's a public servant. We pay for everything that these guys are getting from in their salaries or whatever, you know. All
it's
the
your
benefits.
Taxes and my taxes.
Yes,
I live
it's
in
my
Orland
tax
Park.
Dollars. And if my tax dollars are being spent to go and bomb people halfway around the world for no fault of theirs, I have a right to hold my representatives accountable, including the President of the United States and Secretary Blinken. Let's not forget them, okay? These are the people who are actually taking advantage of us by saying, oh, these are Democrats, you know, they're going to support us. No matter what, they're going to support us. Well, they got, they'll have to readjust their thinking. Let me put it this way.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask you, because you said you used to be on radio in Houston. I have a big relatives, cousins that live in Houston, and they own like six of the Denny's restaurants and a bunch of businesses. They are hard workers, the Sharosh family. So I'm going to give them a shout out to Anthony Sharosh and his family out there. Phenomenal people. I don't know if you met them, because there's an assumption that you and I automatically know each other in this country because of where we're from, but I'm sure it's not. So your show every Sunday, you've only been doing it since September. What's the response been from the radio station? Have they had any problems with it at all, WCPT?
Not at all. I spoke with the general manager, on Friday, and I asked him, I said, hey, are you getting any kind of, blowback from, and I'm going to be addressing some very controversial issues. And he says, nope, you're doing pretty good as long as you are not using, four letters swear words on the air. We are good.
The only four-letter word I know that people get upset with is Arab. You hear the word Arab and they think it's a four-letter word, and that's my fight to tell them it's not. Yeah, I think your show, you're very reasonable. You and your co-host with you, the two of you, I think bring a balance. You offer perspective that people can't get anyplace else, and I think that's a problem with today's media, especially when it comes to Muslims and the Middle East. I think that they speak from an outside, unfamiliar environment of lack of knowledge, and they misportray us. They stereotype us because they just don't know about us. So we have to become part of the media. We have to present ourselves. We have to engage the public. We have to work and make people understand that we're no different than them. We're as patriotic. You know, I know that Pekow thinks he's Sergeant York, who saved the United States during the Iraq War single-handedly as a bomber pilot or whatever he was. I served during the Vietnam War. My dad and my uncle served during World War II, fought the Nazis, saved the Jewish people, ended the Holocaust. They were very proud of doing that. And I was very proud to serve during the Vietnam War, even though I didn't agree with why we had gone into the war. So, you know, we're as American as they are. And I'm really proud. I enjoy your program every Sunday. So, again, tell us about your show this Sunday and how can people listen to it?
Well, this Sunday, I think number one thing, we are going to be focusing on the role of money in politics, especially with the primaries coming up. And not just the role of money, we are talking about negative advertising. There have already, people are starting to send out, you know, mailers dissing the opponents. Especially, we have one lady who's running for judge in DuPage County. If you look at Sadia Covert,
right,
they are sending out negative ads about her.
Right,
not going to take it. We're also going to be playing the mayor's full statement, the little things that were left out, especially regarding him comparing Orland Park to San Francisco.
Right.
And also the other guy who's
Healy, Bill Healy.
I just mentioned Mike Healy.
Trustee. I think it's William Healy.
Mike Healy.
Is it Mike Healy?
Maybe you're right. So we're going to play his full statement. It'll amaze you as to how vitriolic, for lack of a better word, this guy's statement is. So,
It's William Healy. It is Bill Healy.
William Healy. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Mike Milani, who's another trustee. He and I don't always see eye to eye, but he never attacked me for being Arab.
I'm glad you checked it out. So
that's
Bill
okay.
Healy,
that's all right.
Yeah. But we're going to play his statement, and we'll let the people decide. We'll let the people of Orland Park decide.
Yes.
In Bolingbrook, they had only 33 people who had sent in emails.
Right.
And about 20, 25 residents spoke. Just think about it. Every member of the trustees, there were four trustees present. Two of them were not present.
Right.
They almost had tears in their eyes.
Right.
When they listened to this young man coming in and saying, my grandfather and all my cousins were slaughtered.
Yeah.
I don't have any family left over there. This young girl comes in saying, I've been here for 12 years. I'm doing a PhD now. And my family has been slaughtered. I mean, come on. Who would not have a tear in their eye when they listen to something? The testimony was visceral, Ray. It was visceral.
And the mainstream media,
of those clips.
And the mainstream media doesn't bring those stories out. The mayor of Oak Park is Anan Abu Talib, who is from Gaza. And he talked about what happened and has happened to his family in Gaza. I didn't see any of the mainstream media think that his story was that important. The only
reason
it got out, because we're Arab and Muslim and the stories get out slow. So you might want to bring him on to talk about his relatives and what they're going through. He's a good mayor, just like Mayor Mary Basta. She's a phenomenal mayor out in Bolingbrook. Everybody loves her because she cares about that community and does a great job out there.
Well, if you can make the connection, I would love to have the mayor.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that because you and I are brothers of a very targeted, discriminated community, Muslim, Arab, Indian, Pakistani. It doesn't matter. They look at us and they see the same. They look at you and me and they don't care that I'm Palestinian
Indian.
They don't know the difference. Stereotype doesn't allow them to know the difference. Listen, my guest again on our podcast is Mohammed Fahim. He hosts the Lightning Strike radio show every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for 1 hour from 9 to 10 a.m. on WCPT radio. And that's AM 820, correct?
That's right.
820 radio AM. You should listen to him every Sunday morning. It's a great program. And why should you listen to him? Because I'm Arab and he's Muslim? No, you should listen to him because you are spending billions, people, You're spending billions that it's going to fight these wars in areas where we know more about what's going on than everybody else. You need to listen to us to understand where your money and how it's being is going and how it's being spent. Mohammed, final thought before I say thank you.
Well, one of the things that I would want people to please listen to the show and remember, we are all human beings. Our humanity is at stake. And that is something that we are trying to get the point across, that you may be a Republican, you may be a Democrat. We are Americans and we are human beings. Let's All give right. humanity a chance by holding our elected officials accountable for how we are being perceived. America is losing face around the world, folks, and we should not allow that to happen.
And what web page can they go to get more information about your show, your podcasts, and how they can listen to past shows or keep up with your schedule?
Our website is TLS for the Lightning Strike, TLSChicago.com. You can also go to YouTube, and we have our channel over there. So YouTube.com/@TLSChicago. And every Sunday, we are on Facebook also on the WCPT 820 AM. So facebook.com/WCPT 820. You can call in, you can interact. The call-in number is 773-763-9278 or 763-WCPT, makes it easier. Call in, get involved, participate in the discussions. Just don't be just a disinterested listener. We want you to bring in your thoughts, and then we can make this a better country.
All right, TLSChicago.com is the main website. And I'm assuming they can get the links for all these other things that you talked about, correct? TLSChicago.com.
TLSChicago.com is the main, and we have
good
all the previous shows archived on the website also.
Perfect. All right, everybody. My guest, Mohammed Fahim, joining me this morning, WCPT 820 AM radio, Sunday mornings at 9 to 10 AM on the program called The Lightning Strike. His website is tlschicago.com. I'm Ray Hanania. Thank you for joining me at Ray Hanania on Politics. Remember, my website is rayhanania.com. We'll see you again. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you later, everybody. Bye-bye. And Mohammed, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Ray.